this about from Chevalier, the teacher of the law and what he got up and said. And I got to thinking, did Paul sit under the feet of somebody? And I looked it up, and sure enough, he said, I sat under the feet of Chevalier.
Yeah.
Chevalier was my rabbi. I learned from him.
Yeah.
And so I thought, that's pretty good, because this is probably where this passage came from. You know, we put all the disciples out, right?
Yeah.
So the only Gamaliel and the leaders were there, and apparently Paul was there.
Possibly, yeah. I never thought about that.
That was his rabbi, right? You used to hang around your rabbi. Yeah. He probably heard all this.
Uh-huh.
And not only that, but look what he says here. He says, Gamaliel said to him, "But if this is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God."
Yeah.
Well, isn't that what Paul did?
Mm-hmm.
And the very thing that Paul did, Jesus said to Paul on the road, he said, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
That's right.
Right? This was a prick.
It was.
This was a prick. But he said, you might even be found opposing God.
Yeah.
Look, Saul, this is a prick. Just trying to entreat you. I'm trying to show you.
Yeah.
And Paul just couldn't get it. Saul couldn't get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, took a four upside the head, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'd call it, you know. It took something big to get Paul's attention.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have today, my son's going to come back to an encore presentation.
All right.
This time, he used some of that Miracle-Gro on his ukulele, and look what happens, you know. It's real big. I'm kidding. It's a guitar. And so, got a song. It has something about a big number in it. Song to find out. Come on,
baby. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. What you said. was all a lie. The oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I.
Yes.
If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still fall shy, we'll sing again 100 billion times, so will I. God of salvation,
Jesus,
chase down my heart, all of my failure and pride.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
On a hill you created,
Jesus,
light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. You lost your life so I could find it here.
Jesus,
if you left the grave behind you, so will I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, I see a part in everything you've done. Every part designed in the work of art called love. If you gladly show the surrender, so will I. I can see your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire?
Jesus.
You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Ah, oh, the dia dia.
That's amazing. I think I've said this before, but, you know, there's a lot of stars up in the sky. We'll talk about that sometime, because there's a lot of stars up in the sky. We have been talking about portion, right? What's my portion? Hey, Dad, when you die, what's my portion? What's my inheritance? What?
A farm is what
a farm,
you
yeah,
have.
You know, a farm. I get some cattle, get some sheep, get some goats, and some hogs, and all that kind of thing. What's my portion? Jacob said, I don't need any of that stuff. I'll go with God.
Yeah.
He's my portion. What was the portion that Aaron and his descendants got? The priest. What was their portion in Israel?
God.
That was it. They didn't get any land. They didn't get any land. So God was their portion. But you know what? He was enough. He was enough. So we're going to look at this a little bit today. And you know, when we read and we read things like we see the rich young ruler coming to Jesus and say, "Good master, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What? Why does he want to inherit it? Why would he want to inherit? I mean, I would have said, what must I do to obtain or to get, right? But he said, no, inherit. I want to inherit eternal life. Ooh, what in the world made him say that? Well, let's look at that a little bit today, okay? We're going to be looking in Leviticus 25, if you want to turn there and follow along. I'll be reading part of the passages from the ESV, very similar to the King James, just kind of modernized some of the language. And we'll be reading selections here, but this is the law that Moses told Moses on Mount Sinai. And he's talking about the land. He says, when you come into the land that I give you, this is the way it's going to be. All right? So he's giving them some laws. And if you jump down to verse 23, we're going to start there because there's a lot. This is a huge chapter. Don't have time to read everything. But if you jump down to 23, we're going to read a few verses here. I want to concentrate on a couple here. But in Leviticus 25, starting with verse 23, God is saying, he says, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity. That means it shall not be sold forever. All right? You sell it, you're not going to actually sell it forever. All right? Today, when we sell land, it's sold forever. All right? As long as we pay the taxes on it. But he says, no, it shall not. You shall not sell your land that way. For the land is mine, says God. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. Whoa. You're just here, like, you know, you're not permanently here on this earth, sort of thing. And in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. Okay? If he becomes poor and he sold his land, then it says the nearest relative, all right, shall come and redeem it. And it doesn't say relative, it says the nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. In other words, he sold the land over here to Joe, you know, Abraham or whoever sold the land to Joe, all right? So his kinsman is going to come over and pay that amount to Joe and get that land back for him. Okay? That's interesting, isn't it? Okay? It says, now if a man has no one to redeem it, suppose he didn't have anyone that can redeem it, and then himself becomes prosperous and finds sufficient means to redeem it, let him calculate the year since he sold it and pay back the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and then return to his property. In other words, if he got poor and he sold the land, and then somehow he was able to take the funds that he got from selling the land and got prosperous again so that he could buy it back, he could go and buy it back. And the way they did it in those days, they calculated how many years the guy had it, all right, and then they would pay an appropriate amount for that because the guy got use of the land that time, so they wouldn't pay, you know, they would subtract that off from what he paid, and he would pay the balance.
It's different today. Interest mounts up today. You would have to pay interest a lot more.
Yeah, it's kind of like rent almost when you buy land. It's just kind of like paying rent up front, you know,
what
for the whole
guy
thing.
What if the guy didn't want to sell it back?
I'm sorry?
What if the guy didn't want to sell it back?
Well, this is the law. See, this is what he's saying. This is the way you do things. This doesn't matter what you like or what you don't like. He says this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
This is the way. If he didn't, you know, you can't do that. This is the way it is. I thought about that when I read this. What if the guy doesn't want to give it back? But see, this is God speaking.
That's as law.
And he's saying the law. This is your law. Uh-huh. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't talk about feelings in here.
Well, come on.
It doesn't talk about wants, right?
Well, we could get into something right there.
Just don't go there now. Let's keep going so we can see what's going on here. All right, so, yeah, you're right about it. I thought about that, too. What if he didn't want to pay? You know, he'd pay the money, but he would get his money back, all right?
What if it wasn't a Jew?
It doesn't matter. The other places in here talks about it. Even if it doesn't, if you come into that land, you fall under Jewish law, and you got to obey Jewish law.
How long did they ask?
Just like if you come into the United States, you got to obey United States law. It doesn't matter, you know, if you came from overseas and you don't do those things. I'm sorry, you're in the United States, you got to obey United States law.
We're changing that.
Well, let's don't get there either. All right. Okay, so let's get back to this now, all right? So it says, but if he does not have sufficient means to recover it, then what he sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer, mm-hmm. all right, until what?
Jubilee.
Until the year of Jubilee. Mm-hmm. Until the year of Jubilee. Now, this is a law he's establishing. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a year that's coming. Mm-hmm. And that year is called the year of Jubilee, every 50 years. Mm-hmm. This is the way the law works. Mm-hmm. Every 50 years, what's going to happen? Well, let's read on. It says, in the Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. Okay? He shall return to his property. That means that property, the guy who bought the property, all right, he shall release the property. No money exchanged. No money exchanged. He releases a property, and the guy who previously owned it can go back to it, and it's his property now. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is the law that was established. This is not, you know, this is not, this is a good idea. This is the law that he's establishing here. So, what he spells it out so that when people come in and they want to buy a piece of land, they realize they're not buying this land forever. They're only basically buying this land until the year of Jubilee or until somebody comes and redeems it, okay? Mm-hmm. But if they buy it now, you know, it's 10 years of Jubilee. If they buy it now, they realize if nobody redeems it, I only get to use it until the year of Jubilee. Mm-hmm. So they know I'm going to pay less money for it now, 10 years from Jubilee, than I would pay for it 20 years from Jubilee. You see, that was all worked into their system. It was all worked in. They figured it up. Okay. And if he bought it 1 year from Jubilee, it was like renting the land for 1 year. Right?
Yeah.
So it was fair. It was fair, but you had to know how the system went. All right? And so this was the law. Everybody had to obey. It didn't matter who you were. If you were a foreigner coming in, you were staying there for a while, you couldn't stay there forever. Right? You couldn't buy land and say, this is my land forever. Because that's not the way it works. This is your land until the year of Jubilee. Boom, and it goes back to who previously owned it. All right? So for a foreigner to come in and remain, you know, forever, if you will, in the land of Israel, he had to do what? He had to become a proselyte. He had to become a Jew. He had to join himself to one of the tribes of Israel, mm-hmm. right? So that he could have an inheritance with them, mm-hmm. right? If he did not, come you Jubilee, boom, right? If someone from the tribe of Judah mm-hmm. bought land from someone from the tribe of Ephraim, he would lose that land when Jubilee came. Because it belongs to Ephraim.
Yeah.
You see. Mm-hmm. Even among the tribes, that this law helped. Okay? So, let's go on a little bit further. Jump down to verse 47.
And we'll talk about that. If a stranger or sojourner with you becomes rich, and your brother beside him becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner with you, or to a member of the stranger's clan, and then jump down to 54, we'll leave out a lot of the mid stuff. And if this is a guy who gets poor and he sells himself as a servant to a foreigner, okay? He's poor. He's got to have some way to eat and have some way to live. So he sells himself to a stranger, right? And so he's a servant working there. Bond servant is what they call it. And so he has a chance to be redeemed by his kinsman, right? This sort of thing. And in verse 54, and if he is not redeemed by these means, then he and his children with him shall be released in the year of Jubilee. So not only was the land subject to Jubilee law, but also the person, the people, were subject to Jubilee law. For it is to me that the people of Israel are servants. They are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The people belong to God. The land belongs to God. God says the land is mine and the people are mine. There was a principle that God wanted the children of Israel to learn. That principle, simply stated, is this. Everything you have came from me. Yes. I gave it to you. You did not earn it. You did not sow and reap it. It is mine. Yeah. On loan, so to speak. I can tell you what you can and cannot do with it. The land is mine. Everything you have is mine. Your firstborn son is mine. You have to come and redeem it from me. Amen. Oh, yeah. The firstborn of all your cattle is mine. You can never sell your land permanently. For I command that it will be for an inheritance for your descendants forever. You cannot bankrupt your descendants that way. You cannot be that mean to your descendants. That you sell their land from them and they have no inheritance. If you sell it, you or your family, descendants will get it back in the year of Jubilee. Okay? Now that's a loving father. Don't think of him as a harsh master or a cruel lord. That's a loving father because he is thinking about your descendants even when you don't.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Consider that Jesus on many occasions healed or delivered all who came to him for healing or deliverance. These were God's children. Mm-hmm. And the healing was for the children. Who gets the inheritance? The children, right? Remember the time when the Syrophoenician woman came and said, my daughter is possessed of a demon. She's troubled by this demon. Jesus, please, heal him. Heal her, you know. And Jesus, you know, the disciples came and said, you know, this lady, she's constantly talking about, you know, she's constantly hassling us with this. You know, what are we going to do, you know? And Jesus says, it's not, you know, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. I was only sent to the lost sheep. So he says, what he says? But she came and knelt before him. She heard him, what he said. Mm-hmm. And she came, slipped away from the disciples, came and knelt before him, said, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the what?
Children's
bread. And throw it to the dogs. The children, remember? God guards the children's inheritance. He guards it, right? And so Jesus is doing this sort of thing. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog. I'm guarding that inheritance. But look what she said. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answers her, a woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as your desire. And her daughter was healed instantly from that hour. Amen?
You know what else she did?
Yeah.
She started worshiping you.
Amen.
And then she told him.
Amen.
Hey, he couldn't turn that worship loose. Like, okay, she would worship me.
So what was it that Jesus said was the children's bread?
Healing.
Deliverance. Isn't that what he's talking about?
Yeah.
healing, deliverance is the children's right. It is their what? Inheritance. It is their inheritance. Do children have a right to bread? Yeah. You don't feed your children, you get thrown in jail, right? They did take it away from you, yeah.
You know, that's the reason he gives us these two elements. One is bread, and the other one is wine.
Ooh, glory.
That's why we get those two elements. All right.
All right. So let's see. So God has provided healing for you in the name of Jesus. All right. We're going to have to stop there because we don't have time.
Go on just a little bit. Give me 5 minutes.
I'll give you more. Okay. All right.
I need to cut the cake. Robin's supposed to do it.
Go ahead.
But I brought the cake too. So.
Well, that's good. I got a little bit more. All right. That's great. All right. So.
Let me
ask you something. Did Jesus come to wait?
To what?
Did Jesus come to wait?
To wait?
That's a strange question, isn't it?
Spell the word you're saying.
Huh? Well, let's see what I'm talking about. All right. All right. Here's a passage from Isaiah, and this incident at the healing waters of Jerusalem, all right? And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to, So he says, he's in the synagogue, and he reads this passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay, so this is what's the acceptable year of the Lord? What's he proclaiming?
Jubilee.
Yeah. Jubilee, right?
Yeah.
Now, there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, for while I'm coming, another steps down before me. I have no man when the water is troubled at a certain season." You got to wait for that certain season. You got to wait for the water to be troubled. He was waiting, but he'd been waiting 38 years and couldn't do it. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus did not have to wait to heal the man until the year of Jubilee. He did not have to wait until the year of Jubilee for this man to be healed. He did not have to wait until the angel came and troubled the water. He didn't have to wait for a certain season. He had proclaimed what?
Year of Jubilee.
This is the Jubilee. I'm here. I'm your Redeemer.
Yeah.
I am your Redeemer. You don't have to wait till Jubilee because I'm here.
Yeah.
And I am your Redeemer. And I'm going to redeem your land now. We're not going to have to wait till Jubilee. I'm going to redeem you now. I'm going to redeem you now. Your health, I'm going to redeem now. That's why we sing. I will sing of my Redeemer and his precious love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, on the cross of Calvary, right? Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, right? Remember the old hymn? Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. So, Christ has, this is a couple of other verses, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Redeem us. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Whoa. There we are again. back into inheritance, right?
Yeah.
The son could be redeemed.
Yeah.
The children could be redeemed, you see. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen? We're heirs. We're adopted in. Right? We're adopted in. So as heirs, do we have bread?
Yes.
Do we have healing?
Yeah.
Do we get to be redeemed from our slavery to the law?
Amen.
Amen? To sin? Yeah, from our slavery to sin. We get redeemed, right?
Yeah.
We get all these things and more besides. It is our
inheritance.
Yeah.
It is our inheritance, which cannot be taken away from us forever.
That's right.
It's permanent.
Whoa.
Our Redeemer has come.
Yeah.
We need to realize what we have and insist on claiming it. Insist on obtaining it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
It is ours.
Yes.
It is ours forever. We are now sons.
Yes.
We are the sojourners
yes.
that have moved in, right?
Yeah.
We're the sojourners that have moved in. And we got adopted as sons. We're a member now of the family. And it's our inheritance forever, right?
Need how God just worked that out.
You
needed to finish that.
Yeah, it is. It is good. Thank you.
That is good.
All right. Well, let's pray. I think she brought it in, and we'll have some fellowship.